Jean, we've talked a little bit about the experiences that prepared you for the Amendment 2 case, both personal and professional ones. And I wonder if you could share with us a little bit about that case itself, some of the more remarkable or memorable aspects of that case. I know the book talks about your appreciation for other people who helped out with the case. You're very careful not to take full credit for it. Could you say a little bit more about that and also about other events of that experience?
We had some of the most famous lawyers and political figures in the country calling and wanting to help. And the people that I met in the course of working on the case were absolutely remarkable. Whether they were the plaintiffs in the case or my co-counsel, I certainly didn't do this case by myself. There were other lawyers who worked on it and absolutely incredible people who were willing to take on the role of plaintiffs. So and then, of course, the other memorable thing was winning. We won twice at the Denver District Court level, twice at the Colorado Supreme Court level, and then we won at the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's always nice to win a case.
What was that? What was it like?
You are waiting by the phone at 8 a.m.
every Monday
morning for months because we argued the case in October. And the decision wasn't until May 20th of 1996 and had to wait all those months and weeks. And finally that morning at 8 a.m., I got a call from the person at the other end who said, "This is the clerk of the United States Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the decision of the court below." And that was all I was told. All I could say was thank goodness, and she hung up.
Just like that. Where were you? Is this a snapshot moment? Do you remember where you were when you got that call?
Oh, sure. I was in my office.
Waiting for the phone to ring.
Yes.
As you had been every Monday for months.
For months, that's right.
I'd like to take us back just however many months it is between October and May, long months. What about on the day when you actually stood before the court? What was that day like?
Room was absolutely packed, and it's a very small room. I was sitting close enough to my opponent on the argument, who was the state solicitor general, who stood up to make the first argument because the state had lost below, so he went first. And the very first question to him was from Justice Kennedy, "Has there ever been a law as bad as this?" And you could hear the entire room, most of which were supporters of gay rights, let out this huge sigh of relief. There was our fifth vote. And So from then on, the argument seemed to me as if, as long as I didn't make any mistakes, we were going to be in a pretty good situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And wasn't that line in one of the amicus briefs, that there's never been a law like this?
Professor Lawrence Tribe at Harvard Law School had written an amicus brief, and he was generally considered the country's foremost constitutional law scholar. He was baffled by how one legally should deal with Amendment 2 because there had never been any equal rights or due process support on the basis of sexual orientation. So how he wrote his brief was that there basically had never been a law as bad as this, and you didn't have to worry about all the tests that the U.S. Supreme Court had developed to determine whether a law was unconstitutional. What you had to do was just say this has to violate equal protection. But when Justice Kennedy decided the case, although he used some of that language, he decided it on a much narrower basis, which was the basis that we had argued, that if you could prove that something was passed in a way that was intentionally discriminatory, then you could make it through the lowest level of equal protection review. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
With the word animus.
Animus,
being used,
exactly.
Right.
If animus or prejudice is proven, you can win. And we had proved it. I don't think there was any question about that.
What other kinds of interactions did you have or did you see with other justices?
Well, Justice Scalia was the one who obviously was going to be my opponent. And he did not like some of the answers that Tim Timkovich gave. Tim
was
my
attorney.
Opponent, yeah.
The Solicitor General.
The Solicitor
Colorado.
General, yes. He didn't like some of those answers because Tim was trying to find an intermediate ground, and Justice Scalia wanted to go all out against the LGBT community and worked hard at doing it. He asked me, I had 30 minutes to argue, and he asked me something like 50 questions. I can't remember.
Wow.
It was just an incredible number of questions. And because I had heard him speak at CU Law School about 3 weeks before, and he had announced how he was going to vote in the case.
Oh.
He was going to vote against the plaintiffs, against my side. So I didn't have to be as deferential as I normally would have been. I just made my answers to him sharper than I normally would. I mm-hmm. thought, he's not going to vote our way anyway. I'll just take him on.
And then, of course, he used his dissent prerogative to say how he felt about lesbian, gay, bisexual people.
That's right.
And it wasn't pretty.
No, it was
not
pretty.